You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, it is a new time slot, new day, taking over Thursdays. Lionel Messi said, hey, you know what? For the new time slot, you got a lot to talk about. Lionel Messi to PSG. Let's go.
That's how nice of him, huh? He decides to make that major news right on our first change of schedule. Also, we've got Simon Brodkin, hilarious comedian from the UK, but you might know him best for tossing that cash in Sepp Blatter's face. And like we say, if you make it rain on a president of FIFA, you get invited on our show. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby! Messi!
Wow. Yes, there is nothing else in the news. Even Shannon Sharpe's getting in on the Messi news.
Did you see Stephen A. Smith's Messi segment? It was just about how he's never been to Barcelona. This is ridiculous. Everyone's talking about Messi. The New York Times sent me an email that Messi signed a new contract.
It is taking over the world. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Lionel Alexis Messi Guerrero.
That's right. Y'all two get confused all the time.
It's crazy. You know, it's just because we look alike. But when he shaves, everyone realizes.
Welcome to the show. We have, obviously, first segment is going to be very heavy, messy focused. But we have to make sure you stick around with us because we have comedian Simon Brodkin with us. You may remember Simon. He was the guy who threw money at Sepp Blatter. Yeah. So that's the caliber of guests we have on the show. Did
Bro,
you throw
you
money
make, you make
at a
rain?
FIFA president?
You make it rain on the president of FIFA? You get an invite to this show, my guy.
Okay. Post haste, okay? We need to get you on here.
Is there anywhere else you should be if you make it rain on the president of FIFA? I don't think so.
Okay, so look, that's just a reminder to anyone who would like to be on the show. If you want to throw money at Gianni Infantino, you have an open invitation to come here afterwards.
Please do.
So, let's talk about Lionel Messi leaving Barcelona, going to PSG. But before we even talk, he has arrived in PSG. As we're recording this, he has, family landed in Paris.
The Eiffel Tower has
been about to
booked.
Sign the contract. Yeah, the whole thing. But let's talk about the days leading up to it because he did have his press conference in Barcelona. With all the his teammates, with all the staff. It wasn't the normal farewell that we see at the Camp Nou. In the middle of the pitch, crying player. All the fans giving them applause and a beautiful goodbye. But this is there were a couple interesting things. Obviously, he was very emotional. He was saying why he couldn't resign, and he was kind of being very detailed about just there was money issues.
Well, you know, players wanted him to sign. I mean, not players. Fans wanted him to re-sign for free, to play for free.
Yeah.
he was crying because he's like, I ain't losing no money. But, I mean, I'm going to Paris.
I don't care how rich I am. And that's never going to happen. But there were a couple of interesting things. If you saw the team photo of all the players took a photo with Messi, and he took photos with all his trophies. But you got it. One person stood out, Sergiño Dest. Why did he stay?
I didn't see this.
Out? Because he went to the press conference in a full Chicago Bulls jersey and shorts, bro.
Bruh, just to show everyone, when I picked America instead of Holland, it's because I'm with the vibes, bruh.
I mean, maybe he came from like training or the locker room, but like even some of the other guys
training
were wearing,
what,
like,
his 3-point shot? Why is he dressed in a full Chicago Bulls outfit?
It was surreal. It's just like you see all the Messi in a suit. You see all those the front office staff in a suit. You see the players kind of dressed casually. But then one dude is super casual in a Chicago Bulls jersey.
He should have wore the Jordan Wizards jersey because that's what Messi's about to go do.
Man, Serginho's locked in. He's
he's subbing Messi in his own photo. Damn. He's sending subliminals. I mean, Serginho, whatever. You American. American. You know the vibes, bro. We show up however we want, my guy.
So what now? What is the future? You know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, some people, obviously, the Barcelona perspective, some people are just mad. Some people are saying that Messi is responsible for bankrupting this club. He took so much money from the club, which is like, yo, if they're going to pay me, that's on them, right? To figure out.
If you offer me 90% of the money you have in your pocket, don't be mad at me when your pockets are light because you offered it to me.
Very strange accusation. But there's only a very few clubs that could even afford his salary. He's being paid. He went on a free to PSG.
Well, like, who are the teams that can afford him? Real Madrid? That ain't happening. He ain't going to let that happen. Right? Maybe Manchester City. Manchester City already signed Grealish for $100 million, and they're already in talks to sign Harry Kane. I personally think you made a mistake. You know, you bought two Hondas instead of a Mercedes, but it's all good. You do what you do. I mean, who else? PSG, obviously, who ended up. The Monstars. There's only teams.
I mean, look, ExxonMobil is the only other team that can afford him. Right?
Yo, Gazprom might be the only one. I mean, what are you going to do? And by the way, he reached out to PSG directly. He called Pochettino like, you ready to get this going?
Look, but even just the night before he was went to Paris, there was still another rumor that Barcelona was making a last ditch effort to try to get him to stay, hitting him up with the you up?
Yeah,
we can get this working. Please don't leave me. You know,
I think what happened was La Liga was like, you don't want to sign that, you know, that CVC deal, whatever that's called. It's basically, if Barca signs this deal, it guarantees that the Super League could never happen with them involved in it.
Right.
Barca said no. Then La Liga was like, all right, we ain't going to let you register Messi. And Barca was like, come on, you ain't going to do that. You need Messi to be on our team too. So stop acting. They called it bluff. They're like, nah, fam. I said I got it. I went all in. And now look at where we are. I don't know if you saw it today. There's video of them like ripping the Messi face down off the big mural that's on the side of Nou Camp.
Kind of like what happened with LeBron when he left Cleveland, right? They took down the big Nike
Did anyone burn the Messi jerseys yet?
No, I haven't seen that. I mean, that would be blasphemy. There is...
Well, look, they're going to turn on Messi. Fans are going to turn on him. They're going to say it's his fault. So... at some point, someone's going to burn one of them jerseys. And when they do,
I mean, the internet will fry them if they end up doing that. I'm excited to see what the future of, he's going to demolish Ligue 1. I mean, let's not be crazy. It is going to be, it is out of the top five leagues. It's number five. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they call it Farmers League, whatever. They have a couple good players. PSG obviously didn't win last season. That's a lock. I mean, I don't see them.
They don't win is Pochettino messes it up. But if you're a player for Essaquois, bruh, the only thing you're hoping for out of this match is that he switches kits with you. You know what I mean? Jersey swap, Baba. That's the only thing we got 3 points, but literally, I mean, we didn't get 3 points, but I got this jersey.
That's what the tactics board is showing. It's like, all right, I'm gonna go make a 90-degree angle to get to Messi and ask him for his shirt, you know?
So, and then I'm gonna hold on to his leg and I'm not gonna let go until he gives me the jersey.
Thanks, coach.
Yeah. You know how many jerseys Messi's going to get back in that swap? Is going to be like, who are these people? Who? I don't know any of these people.
Kids have all these damn sponsors on them. This makes no sense.
Nance, more like, Nance going to keep this jersey.
This is going to be, I think, an exciting time for just changing the power dynamic of UEFA, right? Because it went from the money is going to be moved, right? La Liga. It was, you know, last year when Messi was saying he wanted to leave, everybody in La Liga was like, yo, calling everybody at Barca, yo, talk to this man. Mm-hmm. Make sure he comes to his senses because there's too much money on the line. But now think about it. La Liga, they lose Ronaldo. They lose Messi. Really the most popular athletes in the world. In 3 years, you lose those players. This is obviously going to be a boost for...
It's a shift of balance, of power.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
For Ligue 1, as far as just economically. But this is... we're going to be tuning into more Ligue 1 than we ever have in our lives.
Only the PSG matches. And I will say this. Remember they had that big TV issue, the big TV deal that fell apart?
Yeah.
Well, guess who just showed up and done save Ligue 1?
Who came with duct tape to fix it up? Let's go.
He's like, how about you put a piece of gum right here, and I'm your boy. he saved Ligue 1.
For real. Oh, man.
So the Premier League has seen some incredible transfers, but who had the best transfer window?
PSG, obviously.
Yeah, no. For free. Y'all messed up. Jack Grealish was how much?
Who had the best one? I mean, look, I think on paper.
Well, let's look at some of the transfers real quick. Obviously, right. Romelu Lukaku coming over to Chelsea. What was that? 100?
Which a bit of a shock. I did not expect. He got back together
with his ex.
Yeah, I expected him to move from Inter at some point, not necessarily after winning the Scudetto. He has been beloved there, but clearly the bigger issue, and fans at Inter have been really frustrated with this. They are broke.
Yeah, they're broke. They're like they sold Lukaku for $100 million, and they ain't even. They're like, no, that money already spent.
Yeah. We didn't even get to put it in our pockets. We had to hand it off already. To the bank.
Visa came and got that one.
So I think the last thing I saw, Lukaku had mentioned that he was waiting to put out a message for Inter fans, but that. I didn't realize how dire the situation was.
Well, you know what Inter said, right? Inter said, give us the message. And then they told their fans, if you want to see the message, you got to sign up for our Patreon. That's wild disrespect.
Okay. At the $2 billion level. Yeah, I know you got it.
I mean, does anyone have it? Does anybody want to sign up for that? If not, check out our OnlyFans.
Come on. Do you even really love this club?
Inter going to be the first club with OnlyFans. Like, you players... We put cameras in the showers, y'all.
Yo, man.
We got to make some money, all right? So Lukaku's transfer to Chelsea, huge. I don't know why you'd put yourself back in that pressure cooker of the Premier League when you are beloved, but I think Milan was like, no, you getting sold, bro. I don't care if they offer $20 million. Yeah, we need money. What about
I know where you're going, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, you ain't got to go home, but you ain't allowed back in here. Get your ass back out. I think Jack Grealish to Man City, probably one of the biggest transfers. And again, look, I think Jack Grealish is incredible, but this might be another one of those things where English players get a little bit more love in England. You know what I mean? There's that English curve.
Right, right. And he went for, obviously, Aston Villa sold him for 100 million euros, too, man. It's no joke. It's a lot of money. I think it is euros, not in dollars. But the fact that, to me, Grealish going to Manchester City, it is just a spoiled signing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really a player that they need.
A luxury signing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, what is the point of this? I mean, I get fine. But they look, he played in the Community Shield. They lost. I think they gave up. It was a penalty, I believe. And Leicester City won the Community Shield. Yeah, so £100 million, by the way, our producer just said, which is a lot more money than €100 million. Yeah, okay?
That's about I think that's $140 million.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. That's for one person.
I from where Manchester City were into just, you know, winning the league, losing Champions League final, Jack Grealish, it to me is not the difference that will help them get there. This is the only thing I can think of. Kevin De Bruyne have been dealing with a couple injuries here and there. You know, he got hurt during the Euros and Manchester City plays a lot of games. Kevin De Bruyne is a very important player. Jack Grealish could be that guy to step up if Kevin De Bruyne gets hurt. That's the only thing I could really think of.
I mean, look, it is like getting new speakers for your Lamborghini, right? You're like, do you need it? You know what I mean, buddy? I think you're fine. But they won the league running away last year. They've only gotten better. Manchester United went out and bought a couple of players, it feels like it's not going to matter. It feels like the table's going to end up exactly the same because Manchester City went out and bought arguably a much better midfielder. You know what I mean? I'm sure Jadon Sancho stands are going to get all up in my mentions right now, but it is what it is. I think Sancho's a great player. I think Varane is a great player. Does that put Manchester United over the top? Not over. I don't think it even puts them. I might have competed with City better last year, but now that City's also got Grealish, if they could find someone to put those goals in, they are going to be just fine.
I think I mean, Chelsea has a better chance to get closer to Manchester City as far as winning a title, adding Lukaku. Look, if
second half Chelsea is a better team than all season United.
Right. So, because essentially, you know, if Lampard, if Tuchel has the reign for the entire year, they're fighting with Manchester City for the title, for the Premier League title. So this is like Manchester United, you know, they still need, you know, a lot of people say like they need a defensive midfielder. They need, you know, Fred is not going to carry the team as far as the defensively, but are these enough moves to, you know, Manchester City is pretty much the same team. Has United done enough to catch up to Manchester City? Pretty much has. The only team I could say that about is Chelsea.
Yeah.
With adding Lukaku, the signings they've made, how good they already are. I think Tammy Abraham will be leaving.
He's going to Roma.
To Roma, that's the rumor. I've heard that Arsenal want him as well. So this is the only other one that we have to other player we have to talk about is obviously Harry Kane, because he did hold out and did not train, didn't play in any of the preseason matches.
And the English media are acting like he spat on all of them.
We see this, you know, he wanted to force a move like to Manchester City. That was pretty public. It didn't work out, especially with everything going on with Messi. I think that kind of got in the way. Like, why you can't sign all? You can't sign Grealish, Kane, and Messi. You know, what are you, PSG?
You can't have that abundance of rich. No, you can in France. Okay, all right, fair enough.
But you know, there's something called financial fair. Oh wait, no. Okay, that's gone. Sorry.
It's actually called financial fucking go for it. They just changed the name of it.
Financial, do it, man. Who cares?
Ain't tricking if you got it. It's now the title.
You can't take it when you die. Okay?
Nah, fam. Blow the bag is now the name of that law.
Harry Kane put out a statement kind of saying like that. It was you knew it was a lie.
Of course.
I don't have
how
it in front of me.
How dare you suggest I would hold out? I love the fans, first of all. I love the club. And I also want to reiterate that I love the fans. Okay.
Because I don't know if you heard me the first time. Okay. He really did how could you? Me? Harry Kane?
Right.
And it really had the feeling of like, all right, it didn't work out. I tried my best to force a move. But I think I don't know if he is sold in the winter or is I don't see Harry Kane finishing out his contract, but I think this move he drew the line in the sand of like, yo, this team needs to get better. We need to play in Champions League. Otherwise, I do not want to be here. And next year there might be an opportunity to actually kind of do what Messi did with Barcelona, where he said, I want to go. I want to leave. And he drew that line in the sand, and they were like, "Oh, okay, we got to make this dude happy any way we can." But I think next year is when Harry Kane possibly.
No, I think he needs to jump now. I think he needs to jump right this moment. I think if there's ever going to be an opportunity where you're going to leave, he's what, 28 years old, if I'm not mistaken. He's in the middle of his prime. If he's ever going to get a chance, he has to hold out. He has to stop. You know, they're playing chicken with him. The media is playing chicken with him. Daniel Levy's playing chicken with him, and he's blinking. He's flinching. You need to hold out. Stay there. Do not show up to training. Tell them you want to leave. Because if Manchester United or if Manchester City are going to compete with the signings, or I should say Manchester United are going to compete with the signings that City and Chelsea have made, then this is the only chance he has to run is Manchester United is serious about buying him. And if right now Manchester City is still negotiating with trying to buy him, that immediately gives him the league. You have to run now.
It's just so wild that how easy it is for clubs nowadays to purchase two $100 million players. You know what I mean? Like the fact that
you, when you say clubs, like I know you don't mean Arsenal. We can't buy two $50 million players.
All right. It's not just transfer news that we can talk about. We can get to some unboxings. Ooh. Okay. Look at this. Ain't NYCFC cool. Coming through. I know what this is. There was a recent Staple Pigeon collab. And, you know the pigeon is an important figure in New York City Football Club history. Yeah. Okay,
some of you might not know. Maybe you're not into streetwear. Staple, remember they created that probably the first streetwear collab. The pigeon dunk, the Staple dunk, was huge. It caused like a riot in New York with like sneakerheads trying to get it, and that's what started the culture that we have today of people getting sneakers. So shouts to Staple. A staple of New York fashion. Huh?
Yeah, and if clothing, getting clothing leads to violence, you know it's fresh.
Okay? And you know Cooligans are going to talk about it.
Look at even the paper inside.
Right?
Nice NYC stuff. Shout out. Got a scarf here. Staple Pigeon scarf.
The t-shirt. Dope as hell. Look at this. I love me a long sleeve, you know?
Yeah, dude.
You can see in the background the STP.
And, look at this. And a hoodie.
Yeah, I got the hoodie as well. And they put a little pin in there for you, which is kind of dope. Check that out.
Which looks like a token.
Yeah, a little old school New York City token with the pigeon on it. Can't wait to check that out.
Thank you so much, NYCFC Staple, for the kindness.
Check out this. Avery Dennison just sent us this. Common Goal and Soccer Bible put together a little collab. First of all, love the packaging. Packaging is important, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know, Common Goal is actually a not-for-profit. Check this out. Look how cool this is. Common Goal is a not-for-profit in the UK. They use professional soccer players and coaches and managers to get people to donate money, and it's pretty cool. All the money goes to impact lower income. I believe it's lower income societies, but yeah, it's a really cool message. I mean, this kid is absolutely incredible. Look at the color on this thing. I gotta open this bad boy up. Nothing like a good unboxing. Most shows will prepare their unboxing, not us. We do it live. Look at this. Look at how beautiful this is.
Mine's a little different color than yours.
Yeah. You got like the bluish. I've got the, they must have sent me the goalkeeper kit because those are the ones they make in the double XL. But all the patches and everything are really dope. But here's a cool something most people don't know. If you look in the neck, if you get this, if you scan that QR code, you get a thank you message from Juan Mata.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So how cool is that, right? Really? And look, it says in here, it says, football is a team game, and so is social change.
All right. Huh? I'm trying this right now.
You're going to give it a try?
Yeah, it goes to a message from Juan Mata.
What would you do if it goes to my mixtape? And you're like, no, this isn't what I wanted.
Thank you for the kindness, Juan.
I mean, this is absolutely incredible. Common Goal, Soccer Bible, you guys are doing something dope here. Or to help out Common Goal, so thank you. I can't wait to rock this drip. You know what else I can't wait for? We got Simon Brockin right when we get back after this. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, asking you being Gully Squad. Oh my God, Gully Squad is the absolute incredible. By the way, if you're not a member of Gully Squad, what are you waiting for? Just go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad and join. First of all, you get absolutely amazing access to us, Christian and I. We're always in there. This is the place we focus on. We text back the most. If you want to share a picture of your pizza and say, yo, Alexis, roast them. Nah, fam, join Gully Squad. That's where that happens, in the Rate My Pizza room in our Slack. It's absolutely incredible. We've got stuff from comedy, coffee, beer, wine, liquor, food stuff, general stuff. They're coming up with the Gulliest Kit, Inferior Sports, which is where we talk about everything else. We got an MLS Pick'em going on in there, music, pets. It's such incredible stuff. And by the way, anytime we have a guest, what happens is we post that in Gully Squad. They find out about it first, and it's cool that they don't leak that information. They're awesome people. And we ask them if they have any questions for whether it's famous coaches or players or a journalist, whoever it is that we have as a guest on our show. And those are the only questions that we ask. So if you would love to ask some of these famous people some questions, anyone from Zach Steffen to Landon Donovan to Michelle Akers, you know, legend in the women's game, anyone like that, if you've always wanted to ask them a question, the only way you're going to get a chance to do that is if you are in Gully Squad. So again, go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, or you could just go to shoutstous.com. Join now. All right, Christian, our guest is finally here. I cannot explain to you how excited I am. This guy got a chance to be one-on-one with one of the people, our dream get for this show. Sepp Blatter. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yeah, it was a hard-hitting interview that he did.
But he got to be one-on-one with the guy, and he did what I think is probably the most iconic prank in, soccer history, right?
He would say football history. But,
Other than the guy who did Wayne Rooney's hair plugs, I would say that's the other biggest prank in soccer.
Right. Yeah, it was a good one, too. And it lasted a long time.
Got him. This is absolutely incredible. You might know him from the prank where he threw the money up in the air. And if I'm not mistaken, he said North Korea was the next World Cup site, which was absolutely incredible. Also, you might know him as a hilarious comedian. In fact, he's got a tour coming up called Troublemaker. Check out his website. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, another comedian on our show, Simon Brodkin, everybody.
Simon, what's good?
All good, man. All good. Yes. Thanks for that lovely introduction.
Not a problem. Yeah, in fact, you're wearing a City shirt, and I already threw shade at a Manchester United legend. Are you happy?
So happy. Just keep it rolling. Keep it. And that is a good stunt. Whoever did the Wayne Rooney hair. And normally they're over in an instant, but this just keeps on going and going and going. And it's a great one. It's a long-term one. Yeah. I am okay. Wearing a City shirt. I'm not wearing the City shirt that I wore. I just tried to put it on actually for the interview, but it didn't quite fit. I think I've had a few halftime pies since then. But when I went on the pitch at Everton at Christian's Club, and joined them as if because I'm a character comedian originally. The actual tour is as myself, Simon Brodkin, but there's Jason Bent is the Premier League football character that I play that's been on British TV a lot. And so, as you said, for the Sepp Blatter one. That was Jason Bent, who is everything wrong with the Premier League. He is all the wealth, a little bit of the talent, but he is after the money. He's after the girls. He's boasted that he's basically got the highest number of arrests, highest number of failed drug tests, highest number of marriages, highest number of kids he's never met of all the Premier League footballers ever. So it was he was representing North Korea. He was the North Korean ambassador. And he was handing over Sepp the money for the North Korea 2026 bid. And that was where it all came from. And then the one on the pitch at Everton at Goodison Park was because he was saying he thought he'd signed for the club. I mean, City were buying a lot of players at the time. And went on.
We could use them.
Exactly. And go for it.
So look, I mean, let's talk about the pranks in a moment. Mm. You are wearing a City shirt. And I just, let's start there because we had Dominic Monaghan, actor from Lord of the Rings. He played Merry. Big United fan. He is his family, even within his family, there are United fans and City fans. What is your perspective now talking to a City fan, that rivalry, where is it now for you, especially with all the recent success of Manchester City?
So what has happened with City and United? I mean, the whole tables have turned. It is crazy. Okay, my family are from Manchester, just to lay that on the table early doors, because what's happened now is I get asked whether I'm a Glory supporter, and it's just a wonderful irony as I just think back to my youth and think through all the crap that I sat through, only to now be accused of being a Glory supporter. How dare you? I didn't suffer for this. The tables have totally flipped. It's insane. So my dad went to City's, when our first bout of being good, 68, when we won the league in 68. We all remember that, right? I don't even know whether America was formed then, okay? But that was when he was going to the games. And then he kind of let it lapse a little bit. I then studied medicine in Manchester at the university there. And I started getting back into going and got a season ticket and got him going back. We were rubbish then. We were pure rubbish. And always it was United. Anywhere I traveled throughout the country, you got kids wearing these United shirts. Like, what? Anyway, turns out kids just want to see their team win trophies, because now wherever I go in the country, there's kids wearing City fans. A little bit of me doesn't like them. I'm not going to lie. There's okay. a tiny bit going, dude, you would have been wearing a red shirt 15 years ago. This is not a good relationship.
Just but Simon yelling at children, where were you in 68?
Yeah, I wasn't exactly. alive.
Yeah.
What
so
is, what do you
it's
think
crazy
about-
and now funnily enough the biggest the biggest rivalry is with Liverpool, basically. That's how it's going at the moment,
right? Well,
yeah, you went from noisy neighbor to kind of now a lot of people are suggesting that City is the bigger club in Manchester. I mean, when you were going to the matches, and obviously as a comedian it makes it very difficult to go to a lot of the games, but are you getting to enjoy being at this level, rising to this level,
it's
and
crazy.
Slightly above Manchester United?
It's crazy. I mean, I pinch myself. We've got the greatest manager in the world. We have some of the greatest superstars in the world. We have some of the richest owners. Like what? Because I've been brought, it's like someone who gets brought up with a low self-esteem, you know? No matter how many times you're told you are great, in your heart of hearts, you're thinking you're useless and worthless. That is my relationship with City. When I watch them, I'm like, what? This isn't City. This is what? I still can't get used to us being this monster club.
To be British and say you have low self-esteem is a little redundant, no? I mean, it's,
yeah.
It kind of comes
with... It goes with it. I think it's part of their national anthem.
God, we are not worthy. We are rubbish people. Yeah, I thought about the cliches. I was looking at my teeth on the camera thinking, hey, I've got American teeth here.
Hey, you
I got American teeth. But British low
good.
Self-esteem.
I got a question. You mentioned something which, look, We're both Latino and we're both comedians.
Yeah.
So we've completely failed our parents. You went to medical school and you're a comedian playing pranks? What
Dude,
the fuck is
if
wrong
only,
with you?
Let's just the three of us talk about familial disappointment, okay? Often people ask whether I get scared when I do my stunts. If you want to know fear, right, try telling your Jewish mother you are giving up being a doctor to become, and I quote, an effing clown, okay? Then you will know fear. Yeah, we all have let everyone down, haven't we?
Bro,
let's be honest.
I've been doing professional stand-up for 12 years. I have a show on television, and my mother to this day still tells people I'm looking for work. So Cuban moms, yep. Not that different from Jewish moms. I gotta be honest with you.
100%. They'll figure things out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the pranks that you mentioned, the Sepp Blatter prank. This is what, you know, I think put you on this was a global viral moment that everyone, whether they knew your name, they knew your face when this happened. This was, when I saw this, I'm like, this dude has the biggest balls in the world. What
kahunas.
Happened? Why
well, Brooklyn,
do you do
this? Kahunas. Do we say kahunas in Brooklyn? Is that the biggest kahunas, boy?
Look at the kahunas on this fucking guy.
There we go. Can we swear? I didn't know. Can we allow to? What's the swear?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
What possessed you to do this? And then
how did you get through?
I mean, I've seen interviews and I've seen you talk about this in some detail. We don't have too much time, but what what sparked this idea?
Stunts, pranks, whatever you want to call them, where comedy and real life mesh together is a piece of beauty in far as my, you know, in my head. And whether that is, you know, one of the first ones I did, which was getting arrested at my own DVD launch for stealing the DVD, because I do this sort of laddie character, right? And he stole his own DVD, and then the police came for real, and it was this moment, a big launch. That was a huge superstore in London.
Is that
and
Lee Nelson? Kind of,
say it again.
Is that the Lee Nelson character?
That's the Lee Nelson character, yeah. Who's your sort of South London, you are, you legend, so yay! Right, that's him, right? Happy-go-lucky geezer. And in fact, how you probably imagine all British people, right? Yeah. Oh, hello, I'm sipping tea, or you are, yeah! So there we go. And then just the bigger you go, the more fun. And obviously, I'm always trying to pick, deserving targets once the butt of the joke isn't me. So whether that be Sepp, who is obviously one of the most corrupt people ever to grace the beautiful game, or whether that is, in some ways, I was sort of pranking Manchester City, my own club, for just having too much money and too many players. They didn't even know which players are meant to be there and who they've signed. That was when I went on to Goodison Park. Or it was the England team when I joined them on the plane, just when they were boarding the plane to go to the World Cup. That was when England were at rock bottom. And I joined as Jason Bent again, going, listen, I've got my passport. Should we go for it or what? It was Roy Hodgson was in charge. Right, am I on the plane? I'm in the squad or what? My phone broke, mate. So am I playing or what? That was so it's always trying to collide this reality with funny. And obviously, Sepp, as I explained before, was accepting the bribe from North Korea, which he probably would have. Let's be, you could imagine them. It's in Qatar, for hell's sake.
Yeah, where's
it's
the
like 4,000 degrees.
Where's you know, the prank, you... Simon? Yeah, this is all normal.
Exactly. I should have gone even crazier. Like, so North Korea are securing it for the next 5 World Cups. But Qatar, man, you know when that feeling you walk on the beach and it's just too hot? That's the grass in Qatar. They're going to have to play at like midnight or something. It's crazy, man. So money talks, and that was like the embodiment of that.
Okay.
Worth getting arrested for.
Yeah.
You know, my mum doesn't agree. What can you do?
And you actually did get arrested.
I have, don't want to brag, guys, but I got a criminal record.
Just for a prank. That's insane. Yeah. I mean, did you get in legit trouble afterwards, or they were like, oh,
legit
I get it?
Legit trouble. Imagine if the judge is going, I'm giving you a criminal record, but it's a funny one. Yeah, you crazy guy. Look at this joker. I'm sending you to prison, but it's all a joke. I've been in some cells and some arrests. Yeah.
Okay, so has there been any legitimate, like long-term consequences to these pranks? Like, are you on a no-fly list? Can you not go into certain countries? What's happened?
My mum won't talk to me. No. So, funnily enough, I mean, look, there are repercussions for having a criminal record. You know, I suspect there'll be certain jobs that I won't, I don't know, but I'm not looking to start my teaching career, so it's okay. But in fact, recently at the Euro finals at Wembley, a lot of people sent me this this photo with people who are banned from Wembley. Do not let in. Like, danger. Like, these people are going to attack you. And then there's my... they've got, like, loads of photos. Then there's my little Jewish comedian face.
It'd like, be great if they use your headshot. How great would that be?
Exactly, Matt. Exactly. So, yeah, people are on the lookout. I've stunted Donald Trump. I don't know whether you know this.
Yes, I saw that. Big fan of that one.
So people are, on the lookout. But in terms of actual repercussions, I was banned. I remember after the, after when I went on Goodison Park, this was funny. I went to court. Still in character, like a few weeks later, as Jason Bent. It was amazing, man. You know, the reality and characters coming together. So I was outside court, and Carlos Tevez had just been banned from driving that day in a court up the road. So it was amazing. I was outside court, and all these journalists were outside, like with microphones, like a proper, like a movie scene, you know, and they crowd around you. And I was giving this statement as Jason Bent, and offering Carlos Tevez a lift home if he needed. It was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So, and that I was banned from all matches. In fact, I had to cancel some of my tour dates because they were so close to some stadium. Because I wasn't allowed within a certain distance of some stadium. So, and that one, I had to miss the FA Cup final against Wigan, which we lost. Thank God for that. I was like, thank you, judge, for banning me. Because you saved me like £100 on seeing City being humiliated.
I'd love if you weren't allowed to perform like on the left side of the stage because that's 500 feet from the stadium. You're like, sorry, guys, I got to stay on this side of the stage just because of my band. That's hilarious.
A little bit incredible. Tight.
All right, Simon, we have to get to some questions from fans. We have our supporters group. They're called the Gully Squad. And first question This comes from Douglas Reyes Cerón. He is a DC United fan, so we'll get to the, we'll talk about Trump in a moment because I want to talk about that. But he says, what happened to Simon right after he got hauled off by security that day with Sepp? What happened immediately after that?
So I was dragged out the room. I'm one of the few people who, when I get arrested, it means everything's gone to plan. I'm like, yes. So I get dragged out there, and Sepp abandoned the press conference shortly after. There was the money that I threw all over the floor. I think he was like, I'm going to be too tempted to take this, so let's just end it now. And then we're outside the press conference like two naughty school children who've been sent out of class. Like a couple of minutes after the press conference, we're both sat there, like next to each other, right? like two kids who'd been sent out of class, one of them for like throwing something at the teacher and the other one for fraud, bribery and money laundering.
Yeah.
Guess which one went to prison? So it was insane. And he said to me, he said, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Ooh.
And I'm proud of my response. I said, no, Sepp, you should be ashamed of yourself. And I was like, pretty cool. I wanted to turn around dramatically, like walk out the room, like I won, but I was handcuffed to a police officer.
And then Sepp just explodes, you know, like walking
as you take your glasses off. What should we call it? If Mike Thomas also has a question. He said, the more you pull off stunts like this, like Blatter and Trump, how much more are you on the lookout? And are you sometimes the target? Like, do you think people are going to try to start pranking you?
I've had a couple of people come on stage at tours, you know, and when they do, you just got to be like, hands up. I had it coming. I've invaded enough stages. I went on stage with Kanye West. I don't know whether you know that
I
one.
I saw that too.
So
yeah.
That was so. So if
and he's currently sleeping at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. I don't know if you're aware. He is just living inside the stadium.
He's living where Atlanta United, the soccer team, plays.
I feel terrible after my coming on stage with Kanye at Glastonbury. It's just gone downhill for him, and I feel like I want to give him a
divorce,
hug and just
say,
I feel a bit responsible, like 3%. And then I was taken to a police cell in Zurich in Switzerland after the Sepp thing. It was gorgeous. I mean, I've stayed in worse hotels. Like, the Swiss are so clean, so nice. And the police officer, you always get treated differently everywhere you go. You know, some really want to rough you up, some really friendly, some find it funny. But once they've released you, and this one, they were so nice. They knock on the door like it's my room and go, you might want to know your little joke is all over the internet. Do you want to come and see? And so they open my police cell, right, and take me to the front desk. So, like, the evening of that stunt, after Sepp, I'm at the front desk with all these police officers in handcuffs, and they're showing me the photos of the Sepp and the money from internet sites all around the world. It was like, what? And they were like, they were so proud. It's like, he's our prisoner.
Yeah. They're taking selfies with you. I do want to give you credit, though. I've been to strip clubs. I've watched rap videos my whole life. I've never seen money rain perfectly down
that.
Was
it real
was
money?
Cool, wasn't it, man? It was real money. That was what annoyed me. Actually, didn't annoy me, but I saw anything afterwards. And go throwing fake money. I was like, dude, I got a lot of money out of my bank account, and I changed it at a bureau de change. It's real cash. You know, I didn't want to take fake cash in because I think Switzerland take their money very, very seriously.
Right.
And fake money is illegal. Can you imagine getting arrested for fake money? Nothing to do with the stunt. Just, is that fake money?
Yeah.
Arrest him. So that was real cash. Yeah. It was nice. It was nice vibe. I don't know what you're talking about. Strip clubs. I don't know what you mean, Alexis.
I'm sorry. I might have misspoken. New York strip clubs is where you go eat steak.
So we have a couple other questions. This is from Thorin Svensson and MJ Lee also. They're kind of a similar question. Thorin and MJ said, approximately how much money did you actually throw at Sepp Blatter? And then MJ said, did FIFA give you back your $600? So I'm assuming she must know or have heard that it was around $600.
You know what? In all honesty, I can't remember how much it was. It was a lot. And it was like, oh my God, do I really? In fact, that was one of the funny things. After I was released, right? In fact, when I was released, I was like, dude, this is so comfy. Can I have like one more night in this police cell? But I was released and I was going back to the airport. Obviously, just me, you know, suddenly you're all alone, nothing. And you're walking back. And I had this jacket on with a North Korea badge on this jacket, right? Because that was part of the costume. And a pocket full of hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, please don't let me be mugged on the way home. Please, right. please, please. It was just a crazy thing. It was a few hundred dollars. Yeah, it was. Okay. And what was the other question? Sorry.
They said, did you get, you did get it back. That was the question. Did you get any of it
oh
back?
Oh my God, yeah, you did. I got it back. Listen, Sepp Blatter may be corrupt. The Swiss police are not. The very first thing they did was like, was going, here you go. They arrested me and they took me back into the this FIFA headquarters, which is insanely beautiful. Wonder where they get the money. And they were... And they were like, here we go, 10, 20, 30, 40. I mean, it was like, I felt like giving them 20 back and going, thank you, guys. That's for your good work. Make sure I get
spend
a,
it all in
a
one
nice
place.
Cell. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A little tip for you, a little tip. Thanks for keeping the place
okay.
clean.
Okay, I want to ask this. I don't know if this will make it to air or if we have enough time, but we have to talk about the Trump prank because
yes.
this was absolutely legendary. This video, and I had seen All for One or I forgot the exact outlet that you that
oh it's All for it's Channel 4 in the UK and then I think it's called All Four is like their internet
got it. So this
you,
is the video
you can check out my YouTube it's got all of it there yeah
okay right. So this prank if people are not aware obviously the former president Donald Trump was at a golf
what
course
what do you mean he won man
technically he got
oh, yeah,
the assist from Russia
yeah we debate about it here all the time we're very upset
yeah
so he was opening one of his golf courses in Scotland you had gotten wind of this and not only did you prank him and you know spoiler alert the prank was unbelievable obviously you had a bunch of golf balls with swastikas on them that you dropped them in front of his feet it was insane. Absolutely hilarious. Please go watch this video if you have not. But I want to talk about the attention to detail because as I was watching you prepare to do this prank, I'm like, this is an Ocean's 11 film. This dude is so incredibly prepared and looking at every single detail. And you're going to have to when there's Secret Service involved.
Yeah.
But what? How were you feeling about – because I'm watching this and I'm like, I'm afraid for you. So how did you build the courage to end up following through with this prank?
So you do have to be meticulous because, you know, there's every little detail is and every little thing has four options and those four options have eight options and yada, yada, yada. So in truth, I wasn't that worried about getting shot. I should have been. And I've been told by the officers, you know, there was talk of pulling guns. I'm an Englishman, you know, we took guns. No, yeah. Can we just call each
Never
other.
Heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. We just hurl abuse at each other, call craftily worded abuse. But no, it was the Secret Service and the CIA and his personal bodyguards were all there. They got guns. So, but because my focus is just whether this can happen and whether I can pull it off. I'm not even thinking about that at that stage. In fact, just before it happened, this guy comes up to me, one of the... What's so funny about the Secret Service is they all look like they've been to the Secret Service fancy dress store. They've all got... I'll have the glasses and the jacket and the earpiece, please. I want the whole thing. And they all like, dudes, you are so cliched, man.
Yeah.
So they're there and one guy comes up to me and goes, hey, you got to move that thing right now, right? And I'm like... I thought he was pointing to me. He was talking to one of the officials there. And I thought he was talking about my bag with all the golf balls in. So my heart is going, doo, 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 doo. I've been preparing this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he comes right over to me. And I thought he was about to take my bag and the whole thing's over. He comes up to me. It was a large microphone pole, you know, like they use for the big thing, which was just next to me. And he just moved that. Oh, my God. So I wasn't thinking about whether I was going to get shot. I was thinking about whether I was going to get kicked out. I was hoping that it was just going to be able to pull it off. And then Mr. Trump comes along with all his Trumpies. The whole family were there. Lovely bunch. Really nice family. Really. And that's when I scattered, you know, I interrupted his speech. You know, hey, Donald, sorry, I forgot to give these earlier to the world's press. You know, this is the new Donald Trump golf range. And then scattered hundreds of these golf balls.
Where did you get someone to make golf balls with swastikas on them?
You know, that was the hardest bit of the stunt. And
of course.
I'm glad. Worse if you could just wander into your local sports store, you know. Would you like 100 swastika emblazoned golf balls? No problem, sir. Yeah. Anything else from our Nazi golf range? Yeah. So that was, yeah, it, a lot of shops were called.
Yeah. I can only imagine, man. I'm like, who okayed this? You know? Yeah. And let's hope they didn't keep any for themselves. Yeah.
I think I have one. Let me just hang up. Shall I get one? I think I have one in the room. Or should we?
We can just, you know what? We don't need it. We don't need it.
You want to do, I've just realized, like, what a dumb thing to do. Yes, sure. Show us your swastika on our show. That'll really improve our ratings and our chance of staying on screen. Keep that thing away.
Yeah. Why are all of our sponsors gone all of a sudden? I wonder why.
You know, we could pick. Pictures. I mean, we don't.
Okay.
Just go to your YouTube if they want to see it.
That's okay. What I told my kids when they were drawing them on the fake ones when we're in practicing. Just a propeller, just a broken propeller. Okay. Anyway, sorry, Christian. Sorry, man.
No. Okay. All good. Let's wrap up. Let's get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal that we will turn into a gift that will live on the internet forever. Alexis, do you have any kind of scenario for Simon?
Yes. Somehow, for some reason, they've said if you score this next goal in your Sunday league, in your pub league, that you will get a media pass to Gianni Infantino's next press conference. And okay. You already are going. And somehow, some way, you happen to score that goal and you win. So you get your press pass. How are you going to celebrate scoring that goal?
It's too much, man. It's too much. I mean, what? The shirt's coming up. Are we going for it now?
Yeah, whatever yeah, you like.
The shirt's off. The camera's broken.
Shit. I think I went too far.
Okay, sir.
We can still hear you. We can still hear you. For those of you listening, he just whipped his shirt and
Hello?
Completely lost.
Yeah, yeah, you're
there. You. Am I there?
We got you.
Am I there? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Well done.
There we
sir.
Are. There we go. I thought I'd lost you, man.
No, you're we good. Got you. We got you.
Amazing. Okay.
Simon, thank you so much for celebrating your goal with us.
Where's my pass?
So it was
hypothetical.
Is there anything you want to plug, let people know about before we sign off?
Huge UK tour. My first huge tour out of character as myself, proper, straight, brilliant stand-up comedy in theatres across the UK. It's called Troublemaker. Go to simonbrodkin.com. Say it in an American accent because Brodkin sounds better. SimonBrodkin.com.
Yeah, right. SimonBrodkin.com.
There we go, man. All the dates there. Come.
Okay. Make sure you follow Simon as well on Instagram and Twitter. He's great there as well, at Simon Brodkin. Simon, absolutely honored. Thank you so much for joining us. You are welcome back on this show anytime you would like
pleasure.
To be back
Thanks
on.
Thanks for having me. Great show. And I'm glad they didn't get it pulled off air by putting out that golf ball. You owe me that.
Just about.
Okay. You know, this is why we're here to support each other, the comedy community, right?
All right.
let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please, Simon, join in with us. So for Simon Brodkin, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Hooligans!